And again, the discussion will be suspended until the next paper. Okay. So I would like, thank you so much, Emma. I would like to ask now Doreen. Doreen Amende, please come, and we will try to put your presentation on the screen. Can you help? That's right, yes. And I will use this time to presenting Doreen. Doreen is an independent curator, researcher, writer, and theorist, and professor for a research-based program on the practice and theory of curatorial questions in geopolitics in Geneva. I know that I did something wrong here, but because you explained it to me before, and I just didn't get the... But it's the major thing that you are a researcher, writer, and theorist, and you are based in Geneva. And since 2015, she has been co-running with Tom Hollard and Volker Pantenburg the Harun Farotsky Institute in Berlin. So you are still based in Berlin, actually. No?
Yes. Based in Geneva, in Berlin.
And her recent curatorial projects include, and this is Hamhung. Hamhungs to Orphans for Konrad Pischel, 2018-2020, in the framework of Bauhaus Imaginista in Moscow, and then Berlin, and Bern, and Istanbul. Apart from that, Navigation Beyond Vision in 2019 with Farotsky Institute and Iflux Journal at, what is HKW?
Haus der Kulturen der Welt.
Berlin. The Prisoner Letter at Khalil Sakakini Cultural Center, Sajar Biennial in Ramallah, 2017, and there were other exhibitions as well. She contributed recently to Oxford, a text to Oxford Handbook for Communist Visual Cultures, which was just recently published on, we don't know, but something related to your work, obviously, and it's an important publication. And she's a principal researcher of on decolonizing socialism, Entangled Internationalism, a project which started last year and it will run until 2023. Yes, and it is funded by the Swiss National Science Foundation. And you are also a co-founder of the Collaborative European Forum for Advanced Practices. Very impressive.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. And also since we are a bit under time pressure, I will start straight away, but not before thanking Jérôme Bassin, who invited me initially to the conference, and also Joanna Kordiak. Very, very honored to be here. It's a great pleasure. It's my first time in Warsaw and in Poland. And also thank you, Margrosata Miskovecia, who helped a lot and with emails in the middle of the night. Like, I arrived last night very delayed and I couldn't find the driver. And I called Margrosata. Everything worked out. I'm very glad to be here. Also thank you to Michael for the all kind of technical setup and the interpreters. I'm trying to slow down. I will read the paper pretty much as I've prepared it. And I'm going to start. I'm going to start with a quote from Chris Macaire, Corrienne, 1959. The tale says that an orphan, rediscovering her parents' home after many years of exile, had the surprise of finding herself there already. A double of herself, identical down to the smallest detail, who obviously greeted her as an intruder. Until the day when a neighbor, a skeptic, came to see them with a cat. At the sight of it, the usurper jerked bolt upright with fright and took her true form again, that of a rat. I will come back to this quote from time to time, but it connects a bit to that what we had in the first panel regarding the kind of expropriation and appropriation of a deep past of a pan-European socialism, socialist internationalist for current political right-wing fascist tendencies. The collection of photographs of Konrad Püschel's trip to North Korea in the 1950s includes a photograph of a young chemical worker in a laboratory. She has a writing pad in front of her, which is open and upon which she might be documenting laboratory results. In her hands, she holds a thermometer, while in front of her stands a shelf with numerous gas bottles, beakers, and glass flasks. She is wearing a white protective coat. This room is flooded with daylight, which enters the laboratory through a large window, flowing through the shelf with the laboratory equipment and illuminating the right half of the chemical worker's face. The chemical worker is almost imperceptibly smiling, provoking a gesture of a loving look. Her eyes look to the left, as if she wants to look beyond the photographer, who cannot keep her from her work. Thus, her gaze leads her into the room, exceeding the encounter with the East German architect and photographer Konrad Püschel in North Korea. Does she seek the gaze of a colleague in the room? Is she thinking of family members who survived one of the devastating battles in the first hot war of the global Cold War, the Korean War from 1950 to 53? This image marks a moment of work, waiting, research, and gaze that could easily have found its place in Chris Maguire's Korean. A moment with which Konrad Püschel makes an impression of North Korea for himself through photography. That is of the province Hamgyong Namdo and the people living there after the war, the Korean War, lasting from 1950 till 53, about which the German Democratic Republic Party newspaper Neues Deutschland was then reporting daily. The reconstruction of the North Korean industrial city of Hamhung, which among other things included a youth club with a theater and a film projector, gifts from the German Democratic Republic, was part of a project of what I would like to suggest as an architectural internationalism undertaken by the GDR between 1955 and 62. The East German GDR architect Konrad Püschel, who trained at the Bauhaus in Dessau from 1926 to 1930 and was among the first class to study in Dessau, directed the first construction phase in Hamhung between 1955 and 1959 as a city building brigadier, ein Stadtbaubrigadier. Looking for photos from the Hamhung reconstruction of the 1950s in 2018, when I did the research, I landed on a Flickr.com user's profile. Many of this user's albums contain photographs of different cities and towns in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, including Haeju, Kaesong, Pyongyang, and Wonsan. Other albums of the same user on Flickr consisted of photos collections of places in East Germany, Brandenburg, Teltow, Wernigerode, etc. This geography of a contemporary or post-1989 condition choice seems to reflect a pre-1989 geopolitical entanglement between the German Democratic Republic with North Korea or the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, which this essay wishes to unpack through Konrad Püschel's architectural work. One of the Flickr's users' albums, named Hamhung, contained 56 photographs dated March 2008 and included the following short description. I quote, "Hamhung is the DPRK's second largest city and an important industrial center. The old city was heavily destroyed during the Korean War and rebuilt with aid from the German Democratic Republic from 55 to 62. Several buildings from that period show the influence of Bauhaus design. The project ended 2 years earlier than planned for political reasons," quote end. Whoever created this Flickr folder was very well versed in the history of Hamhung's reconstruction. The description contained information not easily retrieved, not the usual case with well-known Bauhaus projects. As with many other architectural projects undertaken abroad by the GDR, geopolitical geographies of socialist friendship, the reconstruction of Hamhung by the city and building construction brigades from the GDR following the devastating war of 50-53 has not yet been sufficiently researched on the level of architectural practice, a micropolitical level, nor has it been sufficiently contextualized outside of Cold War protocols, the macropolitical. However, with respect to recent publications, it should be mentioned that the intensity of these debates is currently changing. Both this and my own curatorial research on Püschel's participation in the Hamhung reconstruction project may also be based on concern over contemporary pan-European political tendencies, which can be read as part of a crise multiforme, as Fabien Saad describes the condition of the multidimensional crisis, or a global swing to the right, as Arjan Appatorai called this condition. A phenomenon connected to transgenerational symptoms emanating from the experience of speechlessness, discomfort, ignorance, or breaks, one of the many consequences of the transnational turn, as Terry Smith called this, of 1989. As if he could see into the future in his book Korean from 1959, written after a trip to North Korea in the mid-1950s, Chris Marker described the figure of the search for remembering as an orphan, basing this description on a Korean fairy tale. With Chris Marker's observation in mind, I view the project of remembering Hamhung in the present moment as an orphan of history. As such, it has to confront a historiography that now appears in the parents' house, as Marker wrote, after many years of exile, a memory that has settled invisibly at the margins of history and that calls out the fascist usurper of today, whose aim has been to replace the memory of revolution. This orphan's lived experience appears in the form of ephemeral bits, the offcuts and the outtakes that would have vanished into the dustbin of history, that means whose habitat, if any, may be detected in the fringe zones of institutions, libraries, but foremost in unspeakable bodies. In the case of Püschel's Hamhung project, the embarrassing silence... In the case of Püschel's Hamhung project, the embarrassing silence about one of the largest post-war construction projects in the GDR is all the more astonishing since, in the first phase of both planning and implementation, Püschel led the project as an urban planning brigadier, one who studied at the Bauhaus Dessau with the likes of Hannes Meyer, Ludwig Hilbersheimer, Mies van der Rohe, and other architects. While studying, Püschel was also involved in the construction of Walter Gropius' Dessau-Türten housing estate, where he tested basic urban planning concepts for designing and building low-cost living spaces for working people, 2 decades before Khrushchev's 1954 call for a socialist industrialization of construction was realized. Thanks to Püschel's having studied at the Bauhaus only, one can today locate comprehensive photographic documentation of his work in North Korea available in the archives of the Bauhaus Dessau Foundation. Is this correct? It was this fact which first prompted Bauhaus Imaginistas organizers to commission a research project. However, in the course of my examination of Püschel's work in North Korea, I could hardly, with few exceptions, fall back on existing analysis of the Hamhung project. This gap in what is otherwise a meticulous documentation of the Bauhaus confirms the embarrassing silence that Frederick Jameson diagnosed in the narratives, archives, and projects related to the brand of state socialism practice within the GDR, noting that projects from the GDR are exposed to, and I quote, systemic neglect by West Rhineland liberals and radical intellectuals alike, who often morally categorized or silenced projects such as Hamhung in the name of Stalinism and totalitarianism. We discussed this earlier already. I hope I'm still correct here with my slides. let's see. It's a visual layer that is not necessarily only illustrative to what I'm reading. The silence seems to have been normalized over the years, perfect for the arrival of the orphan's double that Chris Marker refers to in Korean. Revisiting her parents' home after many years of exile, the orphan, the parents' lost daughter, was surprised to find herself there already, identical down to the smallest detail. She had never been mentioned, thus had not existed that make the orphan's double greeting her as an intruder. This double, erroneously and scrupulously, had replaced the daughter after the revolution had taken place. She has been silenced or went to exile. She is the figure who has settled imperceptibly at the margins of history. It is the silence of the rest, however, that is now gradually being questioned by projects such as Bauhaus Imaginista or also the projects we are embarking here, and which today provokes the reappearance of these exiled voices, the orphans of history. An orphan, for example, who goes by the name Ham Hung or Baubrigade, Urban Development Brigadier, and who employs a practice outside conformism or dissidentism, meaning outside the binary extremes commonly used to depict socialist reality from a distance. This practice also calls for an analysis of the deviation from Soviet socialism, which the Ham Hung project wanted to claim as early as the founding period of the German Democratic Republic. Up until the early 1970s, the Prima Bauhaus in Dessau was accused of bourgeois cosmopolitanism by the political elite of the DDR, irreconcilable with the ideological principles of the post-war peasant and worker state, although the activities of the Hannes Meyer Group in the USSR between 1930 and 1937, as Konrad Püschel named an article he wrote for Form und Zweck in 1976, did move the orientation of the Bauhaus closer to the Comintern, the Fourth Communist International. In 1931, Konrad Püschel accompanied Philipp Tolzina, a Bauhaus colleague, to Moscow. A short time after arriving, he was involved in planning and the realization of a Sotsgorod, a socialist city, in the industrial city of Ursk in the Urals. After this work on the Dessau-Türten housing estate, this was another chance for Konrad Püschel to refine his work on modern urban planning processes. The GDR's Ham Hung project in North Korea, on the other hand, could already be understood as an act of self-determination taken by the newly founded state. While Moscow negotiated and collaborated with Pyongyang, exploratory talks between the DBRK, I mean North Korea, and the DDR, East Germany, took place on the fringes of the 1954 Geneva Conference, and I quote from a really fantastic book by Jung Sung Hong, Cold War Germany, the Third World, and the Global Humanitarian Regime. She writes there, Otto Grotewohl told a North Korean delegate that his country would be willing to help rebuild one of the cities destroyed in the war. And this is quite magnificent because GDR was no one in the international kind of political scene. They were only recognized in 1974. Ah, yeah, I've written this down here. So East Germany was still far from being recognized as a sovereign state by the United Nations, still being in Geneva at the time, and thus was relegated to the role of the onlooker at the conference. That same year, a contract was signed between the two countries for the reconstruction of Ham Hung. This deviation from Moscow-oriented Soviet socialism could be one reason why the reconstruction under the direction of Konrad Püschel and his colleagues was not documented in the large former journal Deutsche Architektur, although the Ham Hung project was the most ambitious project the GDR had undertaken at that early stage in its existence, both as a socialist urban development project and as an international solidarity project. I skip this part and I go directly to the next paragraph. It is no coincidence that what differentiates the framework of the Bauhaus Imaginista research project is that it takes place outside the normative economies of academic discourse. The contemporary labor of re-narrating the post-war urban development project in Ham Hung requires the use of a para-academic research methodology. These are often methods of artistic non-discipline or future-oriented speculation. It is precisely these methods with which the Hamhung project can be analyzed in relation to entangled geographies, a term by Gabriele Hecht, to describe the mobilization of technology to formulate kind of entangled geographies. Context of the Cold War. My interest in Püschel's work in North Korea was in its production conditions, a means of getting closer to the specifics of the GDR's architectural internationalism. These also included the congeries of political, social, and cultural elements that made possible the planning of the reconstruction of the cities of Hamhung and Hungnam in North Korea by the Deutsche Arbeitsgemeinschaft Urban Development Brigade of the GDR. The investigation of the conditions of production allowed us to consider both micro and macro structural narratives of architectural, educational, social, and political significance. In other words, with whom did the orphan Hamhung study? What did it see? What did it think? What did it disagree with? Who did it listen to? What books did it read? Which films did it watch? However, in contrast to the work of the architectural historian, who has to detail something like a history lesson as precisely as possible, we rely on you here, we have to, I mean, this is important work, on the basis of found documents from the past, a paradisciplinary tendency, a notion by Garrett just speak of curatorial work in the field of art mobilizes an outside of historicity at the site of a monster's wounds. This outside claims to articulate the gaze of these orphans of history, as Chris Marker would say. In other words, the outside of historicity casts a glance of the present, partly confronted with an embarrassing silence due to a politics of power or with the disapproval of the double who perceives the orphan as an intruder. The view of the orphans mobilizes a chronopolitical present, an asymmetrical present, in which affects of aversion and esteem mix to direct the authority of the document against itself as a method of historiography. While my curatorial work attempted with the help of archival material to stay in close contact with the historical treatment of Konrad Püschel's Hamhung project, it would also be a matter of critical reflection and articulation of this historical treatment in relation to the questions of the present. In collaboration with the conceptual graphic designer Laura Giletti, this has resulted in a stratification of narrative strands, taking the form of a spatial installation with the title Hamhung's Two Orphans to Konrad Püschel for the Bauhaus Imaginista project here in the installation shot in Moscow. Between two and four text and image elements were placed on a total of 13 panels in a chronopolitical rather than a chrononormative or a chronological relation to each other. The form of articulation may move closer to the idea of a montage, but I see the installation more as a research display consisting of a constellation of a text and image elements raising a series of questions. As part of the installation, visitors had three A2 posters at their disposal to take away, each with a question, the idea being that visitors could literally carry into the city of the present the question of the undead of internationalism, the social contract of the city, and the geopolitics of architecture. My contribution to Bauhaus Imaginista is thus about a differentiation of Konrad Püschel's urban planning work on the basis of the urban planning project in Hamhung with the idea of both, first, contributing to a diversification of the debate about the history of the Bauhaus as proposed by Bauhaus Imaginista, and that it problematizes the Bauhaus beyond extremes of the Cold War, that means beyond the binary interpretative constellation of Chicago versus Moscow, and as well, second, to propose an architectural internationalism from the GDR that at the same time had a statecrafting and diplomatic function within the conditions of the global Cold War. Konrad Püschel took plenty of photographs during his stay. He not only visited the provincial capital Hamhung, he also documented several forms of settlement construction in Hamgyong Namdo province, taken with a view to examining the power relations between different social orders. For example, he comments on the influence of Japanese colonization in Korea, which produced industrial buildings along the coastal areas, writing, and I quote him, "Here it is no longer the design that speaks, but only technology and economy." Quote end. This is also where a city planner speaks, who learned and rehearsed architecture as a design practice with Hannes Meyer and Ludwig Hilbersheimer at the Bauhaus in Dessau. Furthermore, Püschel's photo albums contain photographic observations focusing on the natural landscape of Hamgyong Namdo, as he writes, "Ein Überblick über die Entwicklung und Gestaltung koreanischer Siedlungsanlagen, an overview of the development and design of Korean settlements. He visited the tomb of the parents of the founding king, Ri Songge, of the Joseon dynasty, located near Hamhung. It also contains reproduced drawings of log houses belonging to the firefield farmers of the Kaima Highlands and a hand-drawn floor plan of Hamhung from 1956, etc. In the photo album, the landscape pictures are often combined as diptychs or triptychs, a factory installation, it could be also a collective farm, is photographed in color. All the other photographs are reproduced in black and white, 35mm format. It is as if photographic observation provides a research tool to learn about a North Korean building history so as to understand both the historical structures left undestroyed by the Korean Indochina War, and as if the visual research of the region delivered a profound method for planning Hamhung's post-war future, for the reconstruction of the city by the construction working group from the DDR, that is not only a project of brotherly friendship. Is it okay with the time?
Not really.
I still have a bit to go.
Is it possible to?
I can just go maybe the next page. There is something like, it's an important, I have a very important argument still to make, so okay. Voila.
3 minutes.
I mean, I'm not even like in 25 minutes yet, my talk, I have to say, no.
Okay, so I have...
I'd skip one page. Okay. So, okay, I did this talk before and it took me 30 minutes. So in North Korea, it was war itself that realized the utopian idea of a tabula rasa, enabling the building of a new city from scratch. The Second World War being only recently concluded, the partitioning of Korea after 1953 can be viewed as a symptom of the reorganization of a global social system orchestrated by competing powers, just like the formation of Europe's so-called Iron Curtain, of which the Berlin Wall was a part. I'm on the page, I don't have page numbers. I hope the interpreter can find the track back. The Second World War was over, a Third World War had immediately begun, the Cold War. The Korean War was the first hot war of this global Cold War, begun only 5 years after the Second World War had ended. It is the devastating, destructive power of these wars that creates the condition for constructing, spatializing, locating, delimiting, and programming a new, here, socialist society. The architect and Hamhung project partner, interpreter Dong Sam Sin, writes, and I skip this part, can be read in his fantastic dissertation, only in German. You can also read this text. I can hand over the whole text. So I think I skip again. It's part of the performative gesture, I guess, of conferences. So just let me plug in at some point, because I would like to conclude. This is still a lot of description. Maybe I should have, of like how Püschel worked. But really, they really developed a very specific kind of construction technique that would consider the North Korean architectural history, which is quite really, it is different than an imperial project of an architectural collaboration. This is the reason why I still would like to situate it in this kind of architectural internationalism. So, in summary, and here we are. So these are like shots from the reconstructed Hamhung project. These are drawings by Arti Sunder, who had to redraw, I mean, she's an artist, fantastic artist from New Delhi, who redraw the images that I could not publish for archival reasons. I mean, some of the images you can't publish, they are not publishable, but I got them with the obligation, don't publish them, so I asked Arti to redraw them. So then we are at some, yeah, Henny here. In summary, I think this is now 2 pages. In summary, with very large letters, it can be said that the architectural internationalism of the GDR and Korea between 1955 and 62 cannot be separated, first, from the inscriptions of war which generated the tabula rasa of modernity. As the anti-colonial author and architect Samia Henny avers, it is necessary to discuss the history of architecture, including that of the Bauhaus, in the context of imperialism and colonialism, with a focus on precisely those forms of practice that introduced an internationalist idea into imperial wars. Specifically for the work of the Bauhaus-trained architect Konrad Püschel, his study, secondly, of existing Korean architecture, and thirdly, his exchange with North Korean workers must be considered in relation to how it reflects this Cold War project as a form of architectural internationalism. This approach seems contrary to the radical modernist utopia of the tabula rasa, with the need to remember the past or the deep past as the practice of a society involved in building a future. This relationship of different temporalities is complex. It is impossible to grasp this relationship as a historical event only, but rather as a stratification of different time courses in which the contemporary evokes the deep past as an unfinished conversation. And this is, I would like to situate the chronopolitical horizon. Its complexity becomes apparent when two orphans of history, whom we have called Ham Hung and Baubrigade, reappear after many years of enforced silence, embarrassed silence, discovering their documents lying in inaccessible archives, not perceived, not complete, falling speechless or simply overlooked. It is precisely in this situation that a project like Bauhaus Imaginista, and I also really would see this project here part of this kind of narrative, takes on the role of a skeptic towards the established and the categorized. Thank you very much, and I'm sure we can discuss further questions in the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Doreen, and I'm sorry that it was such a bumpy ride towards the end, that you had to skip so much of your very interesting and passionate talk. So